Bird. The greatest name in bird seed. The only bird seed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear, brings you the exciting, interesting, behind-the-scenes love story of just plain Stella Bear. Starring that gift, stage and screen star, Margaret Hotburn, in the title role of Stella Bear. The kind old lady who sold new felts to pool rooms in order to put her young son Edward through American University. As our story opens, we find Stella Bear, played by Margaret Hotburn, and Papa Bear, played by
Herman Hotburn.
Herman Hotburn, in the title role, apparently in the living room, living. Joining us. Papa Bear says,
"Well, Ma. We have got to cut down on the bills here. We were taking those bills yesterday. Now, instead of you going to the beauty parlor this week, why don't you let me fix your hair up for you?"
"Well, Pa, I don't know now. You don't know nothing about hairdos."
"Well, now, Ma, I've been trimming the hedges for years, mowing the lawn. I guess I cut a little more grass there."
"Oh, I wish every woman was married to such a card as I am."
"I'm a real joker, huh?"
"Right off the crooked deck."
Yes, indeed, Ma.
"Well, I guess it wouldn't hurt. I wasn't going down to Henri, the hair.
Oh, doctor. He's too expensive. Here, Ma, now sit right back on the stool there.
Cut the hair down.
Sit right down there on that kitchen stool there."
"All right.
Now, just turn your head around a little
bit. You know what I want, don't you, Papa Bear?"
"Oh, yes. You like it trimmed off just a little here.
Nice modern bob,
you know. We'll fix you up with a nice bob here."
"Okay.
I should have gone to barber college. You know, it's a good work."
"Not too much off the side."
"Don't worry, Ma. I know what I'm doing. There's a little more. Snip, snip. There we go.
Now do the other side, Paul."
"Okay. Turn your head around, Ma."
"Okay. There we
are. Cut your ear off there."
"Whoop!
There we go.
Got a hole in my cuticle there, Ma."
"Okay, Ma. There you go.
All righty.
Yeah, that ought to just about do it there, Ma." "Take a look at yourself in the mirror there, Ma.
Really. Good heavens, Pa.
Brother, Ma.
I look like your brother."
"On you, it looks good, Ma.
Get the Vaseline cream hair tonic. I want to shine it."
What happened here?
Another bomb, I think.
Bad show. Well, King Kong Birdseed is still happy to have brought you the exciting, lovable story of just plain Stella Bear. Kindly old lady, based on the book Not Enough Soon Enough by Claudia Quide, adapted for radio by Geraldine Fitzgeraldine. This has been a Sherman D. Tank production.
Oh, thank you.
This is Al Stevenson broadcasting from a Shanghai restaurant in downtown Washington. I didn't bother to call you ladies and gentlemen because if you were, you wouldn't be listening to me. Well, before we get started, I want you to know one thing. The opinions I express on this program are not necessarily those of the sponsors or of station WWW or of myself, because I don't even know my own mind sometimes. Now, with us this evening are some of the greats in the field of showbiz. Right over here is Tallulah Banknight, seated at this table. Tallulah, say a few words to folks out there, please, dear.
Oh, my. You almost let me spill my drink.
You'll be drinking in public anyway, so what's the matter with you?
None of your business, wise guy.
What brings you to the party? Hello, new show or what is it? Well, she's not very cooperative at all, as you can tell. Some of these shows, as soon as they get on top, they forget their friends. You know how it is? Well, we'll be good all day. Let's go over here to this other table. We find the noted Hungarian scientist, Dr. Alvin Gabor. I know he's Hungarian. He's very hungry. He's popping up that food over there. Doctor, could you say a few words to the folks outside?
Will you leave me alone, you punk? I'm trying to eat my lunch here. What's with all this noise?
Thank you very much, Doctor. The first thing I want to know is, you guys really working down there at the lab, or you goofing off? I mean, are we keeping up with these Soviets, or what's the bit?
That's none of your business, wise punk. We already have something lunch. We don't want another noise.
Get some of the folks out there like Zelda, Doctor. But
the opposite.
Okay, lots of luck, Joe. Here's your attitude.
Me too,
sir. A lot of laughs there, huh, folks? Okay, we'll take a few phone calls here. Now, Al Stevenson from Shanghai. Yeah? Okay, same to you, punk. Sick. I don't know what they want. Oh, yeah. Al Stevens of the Shanghai, what's your pleasure? Oh, yeah? Nuts. Some people, I don't have any manners at all. Most students, I don't know what one more star will think. Hello, Al Stevenson at the Shanghai. Huh? Just like that, huh? That's the bit? Okay, Charlie, I didn't need this job anyway. Heck with you.
Hello.
Yeah.
Who was that?
The guy that owns the station.
What happened?
He just fired me.
Oh, smart man.
Gonna replace the show with waltz music.
No, I thought yesterday.
From the pages of American history comes a great story about a man the South is proud of. A man whom every children of the South can quote his name in time of trial. The man's name was the Yellow Ghost.
We took our men from the mountains, from the backwoods and the plains, from the cabins and the hills, from the 3As, the YMCA, and a few other places. And what we lacked in number, we really lacked in brains. Yellow Ghost is what they call me. Chicken Little is my name.
As our story opens, we find the Yellow Ghost and his friend, Hoot Nanny, sitting down in the Fontainebleau Hotel in Miami. The year is 1862. It is spring. Let's join them, shall we?
Sergeant, this is a fine place, a fine hideout we've got here.
Get more ice in the drink there, bartender, if you don't mind.
Right.
Where's your major?
Yes, Sergeant.
It's been 2 years since Fort Sumter.
That's right, Sergeant. I've been meaning to ask you, Sergeant, what happened to your teeth?
I lost them in Vegas last season when we were out making the Western Circuit.
How'd you lose them?
Trap game, Major.
I see.
You know something, Major?
What's that, Sergeant?
I sure enjoyed the first year we spent while the war's on.
Yes, we've got a good thing going down here, Sergeant. I hope nothing spoils it.
I mean the year we were up there at Elizabeth Arden's ranch out in Phoenix.
We still got a couple of bills that we haven't paid up there, haven't we, Sergeant?
Really great, Major. You're a smart man. I'm proud to be connected with you.
Well, all of our Rangers, Sergeant, are smart men.
Don't you figure someday they're going to catch up with you, though?
No, I don't think so, Sergeant. I think everything is all right. The people up north are taking care of the situation. I still get money from the folks every week.
Major, I almost forgot to tell you. Here's a telegram I just received from the telegraph office.
Really? It's from Richmond?
Yes, it's from Richmond. Must be urgent, Major.
Read it to me, will you? The bags under my eyes are covering up my eyelids here.
You have been putting a few away the last few nights, Major.
What does it say, Sergeant?
It says here, we've got to get to Richmond immediately, Major.
What for, to help General Lee?
No, your Diners Club bill is overdue.
Hand me my ice aid, Sergeant. We're on our way.
Oh, see you, bartender. A little more ice in that glass for you.
Both north and south, they knew our fame. Yellow Ghost is what they call me. Chicken Little is my name.
You know something, Major?
What, Sergeant?
I always wondered where the yellow went.
Yeah, it's right here. That's me, Sergeant.
Team, the greatest name in pizza-flavored orange drink, presents the exciting adventures of Captain Daybreak. And now as our story opens, but first, oh yes, first,
remember,
the word.
Boys and girls, at the conclusion of today's thrilling, exciting episode of Captain Daybreak, have your secret decoder keys ready, because we'll have a regular secret decoded message from Captain Daybreak.
And now, for tonight's exciting story. As our story opens, we find Captain Daybreak, Joyce, Ichabod, Chuck, Baby Leroy, the Batman, Eddie Leonard, and the night crew from the Pentagon in their little two-seater Cessna flying over about 5,000 feet above the nation's capital on a secret message trying to find Black Bart. As our story opens, we hear Captain Daybreak say,
"Now, I hope that you all realize the seriousness of this mission.
Charlie, Joyce, will you get your feet off my table right here?
Well, Captain,
I don't understand why we all have to go on this trip.
Now, just a moment. Oh, we need every available... You're Chuck, and don't tell him to shut up. He's older than you.
I'm sorry, sorry for being disrespectful.
No. Well, all right. We need every available man and woman here. When we capture Black Sparks, we must guard those secret papers with our lives.
Please move on.
Oh, just shut up and listen to Captain Daybreak. Shut up.
I can't hear Captain Daybreak because my arm's hanging up the plane.
Pull your arm in. Hand me your arm, Chuck. I'll help you pull it in.
All right.
There I am.
Almost fell out there, Chuck.
Probably missed, Chuck.
Now, Chuck, if you would kindly tell us.
Well,
we're trying to capture Black Bart.
Yes, what's going on?
I thought I told you this is the wrong studio. You want the Tom Mix program.
Is this CBS?
No.
Wrong studio.
I was trying to point out to you before.
Holy smoke!
We're trying to...
Hey, what's the matter with you, Chuck? You stepped on me.
I'm sorry.
I don't like this bickering all the time. Chuck, would you tell us our altitude, please? You're flying the plane, boy.
Please tell you the altitude.
Yes, you're the pilot, Chuck.
I'm not flying this plane.
Ichabod, what's our altitude? You must be flying the plane.
I'm sorry, Captain Daybreak, but I'm not flying the plane. Must be Joyce.
I'm not flying the plane, Ichabod. Captain Daybreak, no, I'm not flying.
Well, then, this poses a problem. That means if no one is flying the plane, we're out of control. And if we're out of control, we're going to crash.
We can't crash. We're on a recording data,
aren't we? Alarm, we're crashing.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to technical difficulties, this concludes the first series in our program. However, we're hoping to get a new cast maybe next week. But that's not the important thing, because right now we still have tonight's secret message.
That's right, boys and girls. Get those secret decoder tees out now, because here is today's secret message. L-42 Z-25 X-14 U-235.
Golly, Captain Daybreak, what does that mean?
That means, boys and girls, Jack Armstrong is a fake.
Circle Team, the greatest name in pizza-flavored drinks, has just presented Captain Daybreak.
Captain Daybreak!
Nice time to get together with the good people.
What's that, Alder?
Well, it finally happened, Meatball.
What's that, Alder?
They finally got Hawaii into the union.
Wonderful. Are they in APCO now, Alder?
Not that union, you creep. I'm talking about the United States of America.
That's wonderful, Alder.
Yeah, it's right. The 49th state, Hawaii, boy.
Wait a minute, Alder. Alaska is the 49th state. Hawaii must be the 50th state, Alder.
When did you sleep Alaska in?
A couple of months ago, Alder. I think you were off on a safari that day.
Come on, man. I must have missed out on that.
Right,
all the whale blubber and everything, eh? Well, it sure is nice to have him get Hawaii. Jeanette, will you knock it off? We're trying to do it. Yeah, well, don't worry about it. Forget the whole talent there, Oliver.
Golly,
boy, I was just thinking about the times in the early part of my Navy career. I used to go to the islands, you know. Boy, it was so pretty.
Hey, tell me, it's a beautiful country over there, Oliver.
Oh, Tony, it's beautiful, really pretty.
Is it really as nice on the beaches as they say, Oliver?
Oh, the beach is wacky. It's the prettiest place with the sun over Diamond Beach.
Find a key, Oliver.
Wacky wee, yes. Boy, it's really pretty. I just picture in my mind the time when I was about 26 years old. A bunch of us fellows had liberty. We went on up, we got a wahoo there and rented the thing and drove out to a little spot. It was a little lake. It was just the prettiest blue with the palm trees and the way the sun would settle the three little girls and the doing a little dance and strum the ukes. Oh boy.
That was delightful.
Bananas and papayas and
mums. Always sunny over there in Hawaii.
Oh, the temperature's a nice 85, a balmy 85.
Balmy
85. Really pretty. Oh, and the tropical climate, the warm sun and the breezes and the trade winds blowing in. You know what? I'm going to get out of here right now. Call Bill Paley and tell him I'm not
going to... Where are you going, Albert?
I'm going to Honolulu.
Goodbye, Albert.
I'll see you in Hawaii. Aloha.
Goodbye, Albert. Goodbye, Albert.
Aloha.
Arthur, you can't... Aloha. Your contract, Arthur.
In
the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. Been waiting for years to do my own show on the trail of the Lonesome Pine.
Who is it?
Mr. Chat, Mr. Walker?
Yes?
My name is Manny Manny. I'm with the Irving Berlitz Publishing Company in New York.
I see.
I'm a song plugger. I was wondering if you'd plug a record for me.
Be glad to.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Salami, the only salami with airwick built in for basic filter relief, makes your salami kissing sweet at all times, brings you the exciting, engrossing story of Stella Bear, starring the gifted stage and screen star Margaret Hartburn in the title role of Stella Bear, the kind old lady who sold new felt to pool rooms to put her son Herbert through college. Harvard College, that is. It's a school up in Nebraska.
Yeah.
As our story opens, we find the engineer goofy. Why are you smoking that cigarette? You're supposed to be paying attention. Anyway, as our story opens, we find Mama Bear and Papa Bear in the sitting room, friendly sitting and talking about something. Shall we join?
Oh, I never saw anybody get as engrossed in one of them cross-eyed puzzles as you do.
Well, you're doing pretty good yourself. What are you working over there?
Oh, this is just an old racing form here.
Aren't you working the crossword puzzle?
Yeah, that's right.
Forget the basic plot here and we'll blow it before we even start out.
Well, you're working the crossword puzzle, remember?
Oh, remember, you're asking me for the word.
Oh, well, that's right. Why don't we go out and start all over again?
Think we ought to. Would you play the theme again?
And now, Rame Salami. The only salami with you find Mama Bear and Papa Bear sitting in the sitting room. They're apparently Papa Bear. Maybe I'd take it from word Q.
I got it.
Is working a cross-eyed puzzle, Sir Gunner.
Oh, this crossword puzzle is really tough this week.
You're two thieves for doing two openings, huh?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
This
is a tough one here.
What you working there, Papa Bear?
It's a crossword puzzle, Ma, and I can't get all the words in here.
What's the matter, Pa?
I'm getting cross. Just working the words is what I'm doing.
Now, don't get huffy. Just read it.
Well, let's see. I need a three-letter word that means a hairy animal with horns.
That's you, Papa Bear.
It's what?
That's you.
No, it is not me, Ma. I don't have any horns. What are you talking about?
No, I mean you. You.
Well, stop insulting me, Ma. We've been married for 50 years. I ask you a simple question like, what is a three-letter word meaning a hairy animal with horns, and you say it's me.
You is an animal. E-W-U.
I am not an animal. What are you talking about?
Now you get the whole thing all wrong. It's supposed to be an animal, but it's you the theme.
Who's an animal?
You're supposed to argue here. Argue, little.
I'm arguing.
I told you it's three-letter
an
word. Boy, am I sick of it.
Rick, he's sick of the show. Jeez, what about the listeners who have to suffer every afternoon of this hour? Anyway, you're going to be listening again tomorrow when you'll hear Papa Bear say,
maybe I am an animal.
That's not very engrossing. That's not going to tease them to listen. You should say something crucial.
Here. Crucial. I'll say that tomorrow.
On the next exciting episode of Just Plain Bull, Stella Bear, partly we struck. So anyway, this is the CBS Radio Network. Where are we?
Brought to you by Circle Team, the greatest name in chocolate-flavored pizza. The only pizza that looks like grape nut flakes, tastes like cocoa, and smells like orange juice. Now, for today's exciting story, but first, this message. Don't forget that after today's exciting story, Captain Daybreak himself will have another secret decoded message. So get those secret decoder pins handy, boys and girls. And now for this afternoon's story. It is just past 4:30, and Captain Daybreak and all the gang, Chuck, Joyce, Ichabod, Bob, Charlie, Uncle Harry, the Phantom, Charlie Chan, and Don Winslow are in their 8-foot pram, moving up toward Great Falls from Dempsey's Boathouse, where they're going to meet the Black Panther to find out the secret plans about derating the round. Now let's join them as they're inside the boat and starting the Black Panther's boat.
Chuck, would you sit down, please?
You're a little bit
stuck in my view.
Okay, where's Captain Daybreak? I gotta see.
I see there. Is he goodbye to the boat yet?
Help him check his hatch. Yes, I'm here.
Hold over a little bit. Now, look, gang, we've got to remember that we're on a very secret mission.
Captain Daybreak, where's the compass?
Chuck, I gave you the compass when we started out. I hope you still have it with you.
Please move over a little bit. I can't get my feet. Mr. Clark, will you get your foot out of my face, please?
I'm sorry about that, but I can't find it. Now, Chuck, if you would kindly put those sandwiches under the seat there.
I've never seen... Now, look, Captain, I've never been on a secret mission like this before.
Who is the Black Panther, anyway? I don't know that yet. We've got to find that out.
Look, I'm sorry, Chuck. I'm doing the best I can.
You boys and girls must... Keep a little quiet now.
Mr. Over there. Would you watch it, Bob?
I'm sorry about that. Would you sit down? I told you to please.
Now, look.
Now,
we're getting close to the island. I must have your
attention. Is there going to be trouble, Captain Daybreak?
I think so. I think they wrote the script that way, Bob.
Sure is this, Prince Tom.
How did you get in this studio? You belong in a comic show.
Is this Studio 2?
No, this is Studio 3.
Holy smoke!
Now then, as I was saying before...
Please, I'm sorry!
Chuck, I'm counting on you, boy.
Who's that?
Is this? Yes, about. Now, Chuck, where's that compass so that we can find our bearing?
Charlie, I thought I'd be with Ichabod.
Ichabod, where's the compass?
Son of a gun. I think it fell over when Joyce's sandwiches fell out.
I don't have the compass. No, I thought I gave it back to Chuck.
Holy smokes.
Jumping team artifact. Whee!
You know what this means?
What?
Well, how will Captain Daybreak and Chuck and Joyce and Ichabod and Bob and Billy and the Phantom and Don Winslow and all the gang get out of this one? How will the sponsor put up with another episode like this? Join us again tomorrow for another thrilling episode in the story of Captain Daybreak. You won't want to miss an exciting episode. And now, boys and girls, stand by for tonight's secret decoding message. Get your rings out, a pencil and paper, and here's Ben Boy Blue to tell you tonight's secret message.
All right, boys and girls, tonight's message is as follows. W-E-6-1-2-1-2.
Wait a minute. That's the weather on the telephone. That's right, boys and girls. And I hope you got it.
It's kind of a silly message. I mean, the kids are out there waiting for the whole thing. Weather on the telephone?
You've been listening to... Break the hot cigarette habit. As Willie the Penguin says, smoke
Camels, smoke Camels, smoke Camels.
Wait a minute, you stupid penguin. You're supposed to say cool, cool.
I think to myself, well, think for yourself.
With a cloud of dust and a hearty hi-ho slobber, the sod buster rides again. Nowhere in the pages of history can you find a greater champion of justice. A more fearless, hard-riding, straight-shooting, beer-drinking, pizza-eating son of a sod. It's the Sod Buster. Truly a gentleman of the old school. Men feared him, little children respected him. Women loved him, a true gentleman. An exciting dramatization of a real-life story that once happened in the old West. beyond the territory of Tacoma Park, on beyond Silver Spring, up into Frederick County, roam the sodbuster, truly a man among men, with his sidekick, Chester.
Come here, Chester.
That's for me, Sturdy Alert.
Let me kick you in the side.
Okay. Ooh.
This was Chester Drawers, his trusted sidekick. Marshall Dillard was a man who stood for truth. It was midday, just outside of Rockville. On out toward Route 40, the sounds of gunplay were heard as the sodbuster and the sidekick Chester Drawers creeped up slowly on a ledge to look out over the valley to see what was going on below. Let's move.
Come on, Chester. Let's duck behind this rock so we don't get caught by any stray shrapnel.
Sure enough, Mr. Dillard, it sure is a mess down there. Look at all them guns.
Yeah, they're really going down, ain't it, Chester?
What are them, Sioux and Apache Indians having a fight?
No, Chester.
Goodness, looks like the U.S. military cavalry and a bunch of stray Indians.
No.
Well, all that racket, Mr. Dillard, what on earth is going on down there?
They're all the Western actors, Chester, in Hollywood, having a union meeting. Scott Masterson, Maverick over there, Ward Bond, Clint McCullough, Vince Bonner, Wrestler's Gun, all of them.
I do declare, Mr. Dillard. How come you ain't in there? You're the biggest one of all. Ain't you a union member?
Yep, Chester, but I'm like Willie the Pen, and I think for myself.
Think for yourself. Think for yourself.
I do declare.
The Sodbuster, written by Larry Narent, produced by Bernie Harrison, directed by Dave Breckway. This entire production was supervised for NBC Radio by Bernice Wynette.
Greatest name in birdseed makes your parakeet look like a gorilla, gentle as a bear, and wild as a mongoose. Brings you the exciting and grossing behind-the-scenes story of Stella Bear, Kindly Old Lady, starring Margaret Hartburn in the title role of Stella Bear, the old lady who sold new felts to pool rooms in order to put her young son Herbert through Harvard. And as our story opens this afternoon, you find Mama Bear and Papa Bear and young son Herbert, after they've just returned from a PTA meeting where Mama Bear and Papa Bear met some of Herbert's teachers. Apparently, Herbert isn't coming along too well in school, as our story opens week here.
I'll tell you, Ma, we got problems with Herbert. I'm disappointed in that report card of yours, Herbert.
Goodness gracious, Herbert. Too bad. What's the matter, Herbert?
Well, you just don't understand me, folks. I mean, after all, I got certain problems, you know.
Well, what problems does a young lad in the first grade have?
Well, I got so many other things to do that other first graders don't have to do.
Other things to do, like what?
Well, I got to shave two or three times a day, for one thing there, you know.
Well, what about the other nights of the week?
Well, Wednesday night, I got to report to the armory for the reserve meetings, you know. Now, most first graders don't have to do that. That's all there is to it.
Most first graders aren't 32 years old, Herbert.
Well, can I help it if I got problems, Mom?
No problems, problems.
Well, Mom, we got to find a solution for this thing. I don't know, Herbert. Maybe we ought to cancel all your privileges and let you stay in your room and study.
No, no, don't do that, Pop. After
Herbert,
all.
Last week, your Amoco credit card was $2,500. Now, what on earth do you do on those weekends?
I got a cash box for an automobile, that's all.
Get a Rambler, Herbert. I don't know what's going on. We better get this thing up.
Well, the whole point is, Mom, that I got problems.
Problems, problems. What problem do you have?
I'm stupid, that's what.
Well, now.
Herbert stupid.
King Kong Birdseed, the greatest name in birdseed, has just brought you another exciting episode of Just Plain Stella Bear, Kindly Old Lady. Based on the book, not enough. Based on the book, not enough soon enough, by Claudia Clyde.
I think you got problems too, buddy, you know that?
I got the contract. I'll be over next year. adapted for radio by Geraldine Fitzgeraldine. And this has been a Sherman D. Tank production.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, too.
4 minutes before 5 o'clock, stand by. It's time for WRC Lucky Bucks. Look in your pocketbook, look in your purse. If you have a dollar bill ending with a 3 and a 0,
you better call the police. It's marked money. It's counterfeit. No good. You've had it.
I'm done walking in. We've been singing along in song with Bob Crosby and his Scooby-Doers. And we hope you've enjoyed the program. For the past 55 minutes, it's been coming to you live from Studio One. Arthur Page in the downstairs.
Yeah.
And Walker and Scott, the team.
Pardon me, men, but I'm a doctor, and I think both you guys are sick.
This is still NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. I knew they were sick.
Thank you, Guy and Carmen and Victor and Lieber, WRC and WRC-FM, NBC in Washington, where you hear the sound of quality.
We are the joy boys of radio. We take electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We take electrons to and fro.
All right, put away the cards. Back to work. Third portion of the Scott Walker Show. The last day of March. This is Ed Walker.
What have we got here? I sure wish they'd fix this studio. Boy, $600,000 building and they put us in a boiler room. This is sick.
Lay on, man.
We are the joy boys of radio. We take the last one to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio.
The greatest name in tickle food brings you the exciting behind the scenes story of just me. I don't hear myself on the head.
Talk to the microphone.
Oh, is this microphone?
That's it. I see.
King Kong birdseed, the only birdseed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear, brings you the exciting, gruesome story starring the gifted stage and screen star Margaret Hartburn in the title role of Stella Bear, Kindly Old Lady. As our story opens this afternoon, we find Mama Bear and Papa Bear in the living room where they're apparently doing some spring cleaning. Cleaning spring. And Papa Bear says,
Ma, I don't know why you want to clean out so much stuff here. It's all right to clean out the basement and everything.
Move on. I'm trying to clean out the place so it'll look good for the company coming in.
Look good. Okay, Ma. I don't know why you...
Get these things out of the way.
Ma, how about this good bridge lamp you
We got? Don't need all this old jazz around the house here.
Ma, put down that chair now.
Not a
don't want
a picture of Guy Lombardo when he had hair.
He that at the Hotel Roosevelt 30 years ago.
Gave me heartburn that dinner they served up there, too. Well, we'll just take these things...
Ma...
downtown Washington. 25 miles an hour. School zones, 15 miles an hour. Parkway, 35 miles an hour.
Hey, look.
Expressway, 50 miles an hour.
Madeline, what are you doing? You're reading the speed limit here.
Oh, well, it had numbers in it. I thought it would be the weather temperatures.
Well, it's not.
Oh. I tried today, honestly. I made a special effort to...
Turning over a new leaf, huh, Eve?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's pretty bad. I mean, you can't...
Well, I tried. I just read what they give me in the newsroom.
Not what we do, but what we say for the gift without the givers. But hey, I mean, you sort of goofed the whole thing.
Well, I'm sorry.
I wish you'd get one of the stick, though, kid. I mean, we got about 600,000 people listen to this show every day.
Who are you kidding?
Well, it says in the sales report when they set up.
Goodbye.
Okay. Sorry, but. Now, this is called Don't Go Away because we got a little music and news and all this jazz coming.
Why don't you have a few laughs? That's the thing that's missing.
We were thinking about having a few laughs. We're not going to. We're just thinking about it.
Right. What is this place?
This is NBC the National
Broadcasting Company. Pardon me, fellas. WRC and WRC FM. NBC in Washington.
I put like radishes in your lunch, will you?
Harry Belafonte, and by request, that's Go Menasai.
Go Menasai, go, man.
Oh, 22 and a half minutes until 6 o'clock. Willard?
Yeah.
On your feet, kid.
We go to the hall.
Time to make our little Tuesday afternoon trek down the hall here. And here's the door at the end of the hall marked Experimental Kitchen. A gentle push on the door.
Yeah, I'll help you. Welcome
now to Betty Crockett's Experimental Kitchen. An echo in here. This time, WRC presents our home economist, Betty Crockett. Here she is in her kitchen, working on some new taste recipe.
Cha-cha-cha-cha. Where's Alvin? Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and good afternoon to you. Hello, Eddie.
Hi, Betty. How are
you today?
Fine, Betty.
Sure, good to see you.
You say hello to Willard, Betty?
Hello, Willard, Betty. How are you?
Oh, I mean, Willard is there.
Hey, I'm here, Betty.
You say hello to me, Betty?
Hello to me, Betty. I guess we're all here together.
Hey, let me have one of those,
Get your hands off my cookies. What are you trying to do
just
there?
I'm trying to have one of those cupcakes.
You are, without a doubt, the hungriest man I've ever seen in my life.
Man's got to eat to keep going, you know.
Well, just stay out of my kitchen. Goodness gracious.
Okay.
Beautiful day. Spring-like, wasn't it today?
Yes, sir. It's a good day. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Good day for spring recipes.
Well, we got some spring recipes, Eddie.
All right.
You look so good, Eddie. Your color is coming back in your face again.
It's a good cooking that does that.
I think it is. Yes, it is. Could be. You sure look.
I just have one of those cupcakes.
Get your hands off my cookies. I told you once before, and I'll tell you no more now.
Okay.
You should know. Didn't your mother teach you better manners than that?
More.
Never seen such a piggy in my life.
All right, what about our recipe for this afternoon?
He likes my cookies, my
Well, I said, what is the recipe for this?
I think so, Eddie.
That's nice. What?
What's that?
The recipe.
Yes, I do. We could do it.
All right, well, let's have the recipe.
Got your pencils and papers out, girls?
Yeah, I got one here. Arthur?
Yeah, I got one.
Okay, ready? All right. Today's recipe, girls, parboiled possum proboscis.
Possum proboscis?
Possum proboscis.
Or the plural, that'd be proboscis.
If you want to, yes.
Tell me, how do you parboil a possum proboscis?
Well, you first of all got to get a possum proboscis, don't you know?
Yeah.
Well, then you cut off its proboscis. Then you parboil it. Simple as that.
Well, do you have any recipes as to the, you know, the boiling temperature or the
time? Normally boiling.
The most important thing is to find the nosy possum, I guess that's...
Well, if you get the possum's proboscis cut off and jig time, you can just snap it in there and...
Well, how is he served? I mean, what with?
With a lot of nerve, Eddie.
With a lot of nerve.
That's it.
Nobody would dare...
Not with a 10-foot possum.
Sure.
Get your proboscis open, girls. We'll see you later.
All right. Betty Crockett coming to RC's Home Economist. She'll be back next Tuesday, I'm afraid, with another interesting recipe. So long now from Betty Crockett.
Excuse me, sir, but would you put this blindfold on, please?
All right, yes, of course.
I have three brands of cigarettes here.
All right.
Blindfold on tight?
Yes.
Okay, would you take this brand?
All right.
Lighter, please.
All right, where's my lighter here?
All right, now. All right, now puff on this. Okay, now take this other cigarette over here.
All right.
Now puff, light this one. Okay. Now take this third cigarette. Now, sir.
Yes.
You know something?
What?
I forgot what we're trying to prove.
That just about does it for this portion of the old twilight hour, huh?
Does it is about the word for it, ma'am. It's almost five. We have 10, 8, 7 to a break here.
WRC at WRC-FM, NBC in Washington.
Eddie.
5 o'clock in time for the news on the hour.
You forgot your trousers. That's all.
Oh, you're laughing. Good heavens.
Your radio central.
Oh.
He tripped over the mic cable. Would you get the cable out of the way? Someone
okay.
Covers in there. Here she is, the sweetheart of the Airwicks, the one lonely girl, the barefoot boy voice. Here she is, Miss Janitor. And today's temperature is in the Washington area.
Thank you. B, 20. I, 25. M, 32. G, 40.
Bingo! Wait a minute here.
Huh?
Jewel shops, what are you doing here? I mean,
well, we have to. Everybody's got to make a living, you know.
Yeah, what are you running a bingo game?
Well, you don't pay me enough for doing these weather, so I decided to have a bingo game.
You mean when you decide you're not being paid enough, you just go ahead and make
the lady's prerogative to change
it. You know, this is a big industry you're messing with, kid. I mean, you're not running any fly-by-night little station,
No.
Radio Corporation of America.
Yes.
And we don't take too kindly to people who change our operation.
Have a bingo card. Want to get on the next game?
Okay, maybe I will.
Yes, they're hanging Danny Deaver in the morning.
No, Lon Chaney is not the name of a bridge crossing the Potomac River.
Yes, one man's family was finally evicted from Sea Cliff.
No, Little Nipper was not a heavy drinker in his early days. It's time once more for radio's time-honored program, The Answer Man, now in its 83rd year. Each week at this time, The Answer Man answers the questions you, the radio listeners, send to him. And now, here is The Answer Man.
Thank you, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and hello there, Willard Scott.
Hello, Mr. Answer Man.
I see the mailman was busy this week.
A lot of questions, sir.
All right, dip into the mailbag and read us our first one.
Very good. A student from American University writes, where was Stratford on Avon, and what type house was it?
That's a good question. You ought to fix those cavities, Willard.
Bad teeth, yeah, I'm sorry.
Stratford on Avon, the best we can locate it here, it was between two other places in England. Stratford on Avon was just a few miles from Drooling on Lapel, which was shortly down the road from taking it on the land.
What type of house was this, Steve?
Oh, the type of house? And it was a prefab job, I think, that he had over there, yes.
A government worker from Annandale writes, how do you get to the Shirley Highway?
Hitchhike, take a bus, a cab, or walk.
A housewife from Pimlico near Baltimore writes, how do you know I love it at Laurel?
Well, the commercials say so. It's a fine place, so why don't you just go on over there? Today is opening day, you know.
Another government worker from Fairfax Road in Bethesda writes, concerning daylight saving time, Mr. Answer Man, I'd like to know about our coffee break.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come at the same time as they normally do. As it is, we have a coffee break at 10, 12, 3, and 4:30. Now, with daylight time, this will put us, of course, an hour behind schedule, which will give us a little more time. But there are some people at the 8 o'clock coffee break who won't make it at all. Now, could this be changed possibly?
Well, now, there's two schools of thought on this. Of course, if you took your coffee break at the same time, it would actually be 11 o'clock, and you might not want your coffee a little earlier. So if you had your coffee at 10 o'clock, it would be kind of silly to have it at 9 o'clock.
You've been listening to the radio's time-honored show, The Answer Man.
You see,
if you have any questions,
wouldn't even
have
had your breakfast yet, probably.
Just
come to work.
Radio, Red Square, Hartford, New Virginia, along with $635 to cover the cost of handling and mailing. And be with us again next week when once more we'll present The Answer Man.
Now, every week at this time, there's a public service feature, WRC, calls in our weatherman at the Washington Weather Tower, Wilbur Weathervane. And here he is with today's observations on the weather.
Wilbur Weathervane, speaking to you from the Washington Weather Gathering Center here in downtown Washington, where we're gathering the weather for you out there in Radio Land.
Now, Wilbur, it's good to hear from you again. I want to tell you something. Frank Foster's doing a very nice job. You better look out.
Don't mention that snip's name to me. If there's anything I can't say, it's a phony meteorologist who goes around expounding about weather. He doesn't know a thing he's talking about. I know. I went to school with him. He made straight D's all the way through meteorology school.
How did you do?
I flunked out the first month.
That's too bad, Wilbur. Well, the weather forecast for the weekend calls for cloudiness and variable cloudiness and sunshine, a little windy and cooler. What do you think about that?
I think that's pretty good, yes. First of all, I think you'd like a brief explanation of why this is happening.
Yes, a very brief, yes.
Would you like one?
Uh-huh.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. You see, the cloud formation is moving out of the north-central states right now. It's coming in at about 3 miles an hour, moving into the Canadian Rockies.
That's fine, Wilbur. Thank you very much.
This is causing a slight disturbance about the atmospheric pressure level, which, of course, is moving in by a low pressure that's being centered through the Atlantic Ocean now, coming in over the Gulf Stream, which will cause...
I'm sure that makes it very clear to all of us.
And now, King Kong Birdseed, the greatest name in birdseed, brings you another exciting episode of Just Plain Stella Bear, starring the gifted stage and screen star Margaret Hartburn in the title role. King Kong Birdseed, the only birdseed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear. As our story opens, we find Mama Bear and Papa Bear in the kitchen, where they've just finished a cup of coffee before going in to watch the Academy Awards on television. And Papa Bear says to Mama Bear,
"Oh, 38, 39 years have been married, Ma, and you still make lousy coffee. I don't understand it."
"Well, just quit drinking and stop griping, will you? If you don't like my coffee, go on down to Pimple Drugstore and get yourself a cup of coffee.
Go in and watch them Academy Awards. You know, we'll never win an award for that. We'll never win none of them Luthers or whatever they give out there for them."
"That's an Oscar."
"Oscar, I was one of them fellas, yeah.
Well, anyway,
I'm awful excited about Herbert getting the summer job, Ma. It's very nice.
I think it was real clever of you and me, Papa Bear."
"Yeah, I think it'll teach him some self-sufficiency and independence. Call him down here, Ma."
"Yes, we finally did it. Called up the Forestry Service. We got him a summer job, so he won't have any problems."
"Herbert, boy, come here, son."
"Herbert, come on down. Your papa wants to talk to you."
"Yo, Ma, Pop."
"Oh, Herbert."
"Herbert, darling, give Mama a kiss."
"Okay."
"Oh, I wish you'd shave that Fidel Castro special off there. Quit smoking that cigar. You burn a hole through my jaw."
"Well, I'm old enough to smoke or that's there,
really Ma." "Smart, fella."
"What, I heard you talking about a job or something upstairs. What
drink my coffee, it goes through like a sieve."
"What are you talking about there?"
"Well, Herbert, your daddy and I got you a job."
"You did?"
"Yes, we did."
"Well, I think that's awful nice of you, because I can sure use the money."
"Well, for this summertime, Herbert, you're going to have lots of fun up in Maine."
"Up in Maine? Oh, that's good. Okay.
Got your job as a guide up in the North Woods."
"In the North Woods?"
"Sure, Herbert."
"Well, I can't even find my way down to the drugstore and back without getting lost. I'd get lost forever up there in the North Woods."
"Yes, Herbert.
Yeah,
we know.
Could there be treachery in the heights of Mama Bear and Papa Bear?"
"I don't know. It doesn't give me that idea, yeah."
"Herbert, quit drinking my orange juice. Good heavens, another sloppy kiss. You've just heard another exciting episode of Just Plain Stella Bear, starring Margaret Hartburn in the title role, Kindly Old Lady, based on the book Not Enough Soon Enough by Claudia Clyde, adapted for radio by Geraldine Fitzgeraldine. This has been a Sherman D. Tank production.
Hey, you know, I can buy a comfort.
Course presents Miss Janitor. They're off at Laurel tomorrow. 9 big thoroughbred races daily. First race, 1:30 at Laurel. The showplace of America's most beautiful, exciting sport. And speaking of horsing around, here she comes, that old filly herself, stepping out of her glass booth here at Radio Central. Here, let me help you out, honey. Well, I made it sound like it, you know, really. Here she is, misty-eyed, with just a will-o'-the-wisp romance on her breath there, and kids of a hop in her
seat.
Yeah, when you breathe on the other mic, honey, you're melting the cable here. One of those Bermudas. That's your shorts, your onions. Here she is, with our weather for the day, washing his own petite floor, Miss Janitor. Let me
Thank you. Woo! David Newton, 5 to 1. Spencer Tracy, 8 to 1. Sidney Poitier, 7 to 1. Elizabeth Taylor, 10 to 1.
Hey, wait a minute.
Deborah Carr, 4 to 1. Long shot. 85 to 1.
Long champ, will you wait just a minute here? What are you baffling about now?
You have a little pool going up in the newsroom for the Academy Awards, and these are the odds.
These are the odds.
Yes.
Honey, you're the odds.
What do you mean?
I mean, just that. Arthur, what are you doing?
Sorry, the record's stuck.
Yeah, well, I think I'd feel that same way about you coming in this studio,
kid.
Just don't let it happen again. If you can't bring the temperatures in, honey, I mean, forget the whole thing.
Blue-wee mountains of Virginia, on the trail of the lonesome pine.
And now, Myers, the greatest name in ice cream, presents author Codfish Time. Now remember Myers' new cherry blossom ice cream, just for this season of the year. Here he is, author of the old cherry blossom, Codfish.
Golly. How are you? Bobby, you quit slapping your fists together like a Cro-Manga man. You're not building a fire. How are you, good folks? Nice to see the people. Everybody's in good spirits.
You told me I should applaud more.
Jay, would you quit mouthing the microphone, Marvin?
Sorry, Albert.
20 years, and every morning I gotta say, Marvin, quit mouthing the microphone. Boy, does that make me sick.
Yeah.
What an indigestive laugh that is.
We have something to cure your indigestion today, Arthur.
Who's the sponsor, Tony?
Mr. Meyer, Arthur, makers of Meyer's ice cream.
That's good stuff.
They got a new flavor, Arthur.
Chicken mint?
No, cherry blossom, Arthur.
Cherry blossom ice cream?
Arthur.
Son of a gun. I haven't had any cherry blossom ice cream since I was in Yokohama.
Arthur, they just started making it this year. You couldn't have had it.
That fact sheet. We're going to fire another one this week. I thought it was Yokohama cherry.
No, Arthur, I'm sorry, Arthur.
Isn't this National Something Week in the...
That's right, Arthur. This is National Sardine and Ice Cream Week, Arthur.
Yeah.
Right, Arthur. Drink a lot of sardines on your Myers ice cream, Arthur.
Virginia, only mackerel kingfish.
No, sardines, Arthur.
Holy smoker with jag of mule. That's entirely unbelievable.
That's the week, Arthur.
Yes, the week is right. My stomach is weak.
Tonight, of course, Arthur, they are awarding the Academy Awards in Los Angeles.
Golly, that must be a big show at the Tantagus Theater.
That's right, Arthur. I think I should win an award for my superb announcing.
I think you should win an award for what, Meatball?
My superb announcing, Arthur.
Boy, are you a dreamer.
I think I should win an award for my singing, Arthur.
Who brought Ellie Loki back? Look, just because you're in the union don't mean you gotta show off again.
I paid my dues, too, Arthur.
Well, that's the wrong union. I was just thinking, Meatball,
about that, Arthur?
If I could regress upon a subject.
Certainly, Arthur.
It really is beautiful spring in Washington, isn't it?
Yes.
With the cherry blossoms?
Yes.
I remember when I got sprung in Washington.
What was this, Arthur?
Well, I went up, you know, I was sleeping on a job doing a morning show. And
Arthur, I don't think you should talk about this on the network, Arthur.
The network be hanged.
Arthur, if you keep talking like that, you might be hanged.
Really beautiful network in the morning.
The ratings, Arthur, please.
Ratings in the morning, really pretty telling. Well, about the Academy Awards, Buck.
Yes, Arthur.
What did you want, an award?
I think I should have an award, but I have one here for you, Arthur, that was just sent in a few moments ago. You are winning an Academy Award, Arthur.
An Academy Award?
That is correct, Arthur.
Well, what
is it? It is a small miniature boat in a bottle, Arthur, presented to you by the Naval Academy for your services.
Meatball, come here.
Well, it's an Academy Award.
I want an Academy from Hollywood.
No, but Arthur, this is an Academy.
Teach him to give me a boat and a bottle. In the blue, give him a boot and a... In the blue-ridge mountains of Virginia, on the trail of the lonesome bottle.
Time for a bit of poetry, my friend. To move or store, to ship or shore, get the advice and help of Merchant Expert Service. That's Merchant.
That last part didn't rhyme.
Well, no, the first part was a couplet.
Oh.
Merchant, that's the important thing.
Couplet, yeah.
Coming up to 15 minutes until 6 right now. I say it's 15 minutes until 6 right now. Sorry, okay. And you know what that means?
A couplet.
That means it's time for the weather. And here's Frank Foster.
A couplet.
Each week, thousands of men all over America thrill the pages of Beast magazine. Its infamous blood-curdling stories of savagery, jungle hunts and wild safaris, frenetic raging drives, roaring berserk through the teeming, rotting jungles of North Africa. No other magazine has dared to print the accounts of intrigue and the wilds of the great outdoors as has Beast magazine, the man's man's magazine. You'll recognize Beast magazine with a blood-red cover at your newsstand. This week's issue has the picture of a speared elephant on its cover. This program is honored to present to its listeners the editor-in-chief of this wild outdoor magazine, the rugged, bearded, half-wild Buck Beat, who himself was born in a tree-fight in Africa. For 7 years, he was lost in the Belgian Congo without food, compass, or water. But just last month, he returned from the deep bush country of Australia, where he captured single-handed the hook-nosed, ring-tailed, double-beaked wild boar. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the editor of Beast Magazine, Buck Beast. Buck, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good afternoon, friends. And it's good to be back in civilization again.
Well, you're a little gamey. You must have just freshly returned from the jungle.
Just got off the boat a few hours ago, Willard, and I must say it was an exciting excursion that we had.
Well, Buck, I see where that ring-tailed wild boar bit you on the arm there.
Yes, I've been taking shots for that. It's worse than rabies, believe me. It's one of those things that you've got to really protect yourself against. But we had a very interesting safari. I came down to tell you about it today. I just set up my slide projector here.
Buck.
Had a few hundred slides that we took of our little safari.
Fellow, this is radio, you know. We
lights, please. Would you turn the lights? Thank you. Oh, that's
a thing.
Dreamy right there.
Come on, sit down, will you, Buck?
Now then, well,
sorry,
you
radio
right
man.
There. This is television, isn't it?
No.
Oh, well, that's too bad. I've already prepared it, so we'll just have to do it.
Let me get this straight, first of all. This is a slide projector with slides from your recent safari.
That is correct.
Last week's safari. Okay.
A dangerous mission it was.
Okay, go ahead.
Now then, I'll just drop the first slide there. Now you can see our group. They're slightly disheveled, but nonetheless, we were walking on foot, and there you see where we stopped by the hot shop on Wisconsin Avenue for an orange free.
That looks like the hot shop on Wisconsin Avenue.
That's right. We all stopped by there and had a little orange free.
This is a safari?
Oh, yes. We had to have a little nourishment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The next slide. This is where we are walking down U.S. Route 240.
That looks like the bank in old Bethesda.
Well, that's right. We're gradually working our way out into the dense undergrowth, as you can tell.
What does that street sign say there?
That's the old Georgetown Road.
Well, what did you do here?
Well, then we took the old Georgetown Road, which takes you up to the Frederick Road.
How did you go to the Frederick Road?
We walked on foot.
I thought you rented a llama.
Well, we did. After we got on the Frederick Road, we rented a llama.
A llama? You mean the guy, the thing with the 4 feet, the llama?
No, a llamazine. We had a man come by and take us up there, and we rode up the road there.
Then a few hours later,
next slide. Here we are, and you can tell
the open country.
There. That's right. Beautiful country there. And now here we are, finally. Here we are in Frederick. And you can see now we all stopped for a bit of a repast. And right at that point, we all got desperately ill.
Look at all the men with their holding their stomachs lying on the ground.
Yeah, we were all sick.
What? Sick?
Yeah.
Some wild fly or animal or insect bite you?
No, we got a hold of some of that Barbara Twitchy candy. And I'm telling you, boy, it just about ruined us.
Well, I think that's about all the time
we're
going to
have. I don't think I'm quite over it yet.
Yeah, well, we haven't got too much
time. Now, I have a few hundred more slides.
No, I think that'll do it. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been bringing you an exciting interview with the editor of Beast Magazine, Buck Beast.
We did have a real...
The editor and director of the magazine has given us so freely in his time.
What are those noises?
Don't let them scare you.
Get up.
Get the record, Buck.
Time for our Tuesday afternoon visit with you know who.
That's
push on the door here.
Now, help you on her shoulder.
Yeah. Welcome now to Betty Crockett, her little kitchen. Each Tuesday afternoon, WRC proudly presents our home economist, Miss Betty Crockett. Here she is in her kitchen, Miss Betty Crockett. Miss Betty Crockett. Betty, you're on.
There's the kimchi. Didn't see no cue there. Hello, Eddie.
Hello, Betty. How are you?
Hello, sweetheart. Give old Betty a kiss.
All right.
Come on, don't smooch. Woo, you are so cute.
Hi, Betty. How are you?
Hello, Arthur.
I have one of those...
Get your hands off my English muffin there.
Muffin over there.
You watch your ears and cute.
A little jelly over there that I can put on hand.
Don't mess around, Mike.
He's a hungry boy, Betty. You work hard on the show.
You ought to watch your calorie count, Arthur.
Calorie count's all right.
You're getting pudgy from pudgy there.
My bank account's not so good, though, boy.
You've been eating too much there.
Well, what is our recipe for this afternoon?
Yes, I thought we would, Eddie.
Yeah, what is that?
Surely.
What?
Mm-hmm. Do it.
All right, let's have the recipe for this afternoon.
What's that, Eddie?
The recipe.
What's the recipe?
Thing, yeah, it's right there on the page.
Oh, this?
Yeah.
Betty's getting kind of feeble.
Grab a little bit of that angel food.
Get your hands off my angel food cake. I mean, that's...
You're going to start on him, aren't you?
Well, the old...
Left pipe, what?
He's up in the cafeteria. Mr. Heaves up there runs that place and then tries to keep you all well...
Please,
I'm sorry. Today's recipe, Eddie. Hurry up, let's get on.
Yeah, what is the recipe for today? All right, Miss Dilly Dally, what is the recipe?
Fricasseed lamb fasteras.
That's lamb is in season now, huh? And you're fricasseeing the lamb's fasteras.
Well, now, you might think this would be a little cruel to fricassee those fasteras.
It does sound
you've got to cut it off first before you fricassee it.
I see, uh-huh.
Most people don't know about the lamb's fasteras. They've heard about lamb chops, lamb, you know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know much about lamb fasteras.
Well, the fasteras is just about the fuzzier head there, and it grows on the back of the lamb.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And you just fricassee it, huh?
You've got to whip it off first.
What the?
Just cut him off with a coconut knife.
Does this ruin the rest of the lamb?
Well, it smarts for a couple of days.
The lamb is still all right after that, though.
It doesn't. That's the nice thing, because I think this is cute.
It doesn't look sheepish or anything.
Oh, man, you're so cute.
A little joke there. All right, now, what is this lamb for sale? How do you fricassee it? I say, how do you fricassee the lamb?
I don't know. I've been trying to figure it out for half an hour myself. It's impossible. I can't get it in the pot. Get in there, you old man.
Well, I guess that's the recipe for there. One
give me a little
thank you very much, Betty. Well, if you can let me have one of those English muffins.
Get your hands up. Put your head
on. That does it for Betty Crockett's Experimental Kitchen for today. We'll see you next Tuesday, I'm afraid, with another interesting recipe. So long, Betty Crockett. Get out of here.
The greatest name in bird seed. The only bird seed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion. Just there brings you an exciting story. A bird that's another happiness. Sigh, the gifted stage and screen star, Margaret Hartburn, in the title role. If that organist doesn't get more organized, I'm going to have to melt him one in the pot there. Is our story open?
Will you quiet on that organ? I'm getting nervous.
As our story opens, we find Mama Bear and Papa Bear in the living room.
March, 11:15 at night. Wonder where Herbert is.
Man, sakes alive, Papa Bear. I haven't seen Herbert since supper time.
No, I haven't seen him either. Did he say anything about going out on a date or...
Man, he seemed a little nervous, preoccupied about something.
He wasn't going to hang around the drugstore with them boys, was he?
No, I think they broke that up last week.
Yeah, loitering on the public streets like that. Well...
Well, I guess he'll be back.
Herbert's a big boy. He can take care of him.
35 is big enough to stay out there.
Yes, I've been dating Helen Trent lately. I hope something comes of that, Ma.
Lord Humphrey ever finds out, we've all had the car here.
Well, Ma...
Lord Henry.
Would you like to fix me a midnight snack, Ma?
Yes, I'll just get up and go on in the icebox.
Oh, thank you, Ma.
I mean, I won't go in the icebox. I'll walk over to the icebox.
Hello there, Ma.
Herbert, what are you doing in the icebox?
Well, I've just been sitting here all evening just to figure out if that little light does go out when you close the door. And it does, you know.
Herbert, you're no son of mine.
Looks like Herbert found out the truth. And well, probably expose it next week.
Light hurts my eyes, old boy.
Well, I never did try that. King Kong Birdseed has just brought you another exciting episode of Just Plain Stella Bear. Starring kindly old lady, Mama Bear, based on the book Not Enough, Soon Enough by Claudia Clyde. Adapted for radio by Geraldine Smith. Geraldine. This has been a Sherman D. Tank production.
Yes, Corn on the Cob is the name of a brewery in England.
No, Morris Capers did not ride home on the range.
Yes, Helen of Troy was from New York.
No, Polly Wally Doodle Long with A is not the name of an advertising agency in New York. It's time once more for radio's time-honored program, The Answer Man, now in its 83rd year. Each week at this time, The Answer Man answers the questions you, the radio listeners, send to him. Now, here is the Answer Man.
Thank you, and good afternoon, folks. And hello there, Willard Scott.
Good afternoon, Mr. Answer Man. Welcome once again.
Thank you. I see we have a big stack of mail there.
Our first question, Mr. Answer Man. A lady listener from Bethesda would like to know the truth behind the legend of the rabbit's foot.
Behind the rabbit's foot, lady, I think you'll find the rabbit's tail. Anybody knows that, for goodness sake.
A gentleman from Falls Church writes, what tribe did Hiawatha belong to?
I think Hiawatha was a member of the Cleveland Indians, but they later traded him to the Detroit Tigers, and now I think he's with the Baltimore Orioles.
A youngster from Northwest would like to know, whatever happened to Pinky Lee?
Last I heard, he was still hopping, skipping, running, and playing.
An elderly gentleman would like to know, did George Washington ever keep a residence in the city of Washington, and if so, where?
Well, George got to town every once in a while. He had a Sheraton credit card and occasionally stayed at the Y.
I see. Well, you've been listening to the radio's time-honored program, The Answer Man.
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Is there any truth to the rumor that they're canceling the...
I think so.
Fine.
If you have any questions for which you'd like the answers, just address a card or letter to The Answer Man, WRC Radio, Red Square, Hartburn 2, Virginia, along with $635 to cover the cost of handling and mailing. And be with us again next week when once again we'll present The Answer Man. Ladies and gentlemen, to the best of our knowledge, what you're about to witness will be the first time this has ever been attempted on radio. We have with us Harry the Wild Man in the studio, and he is a man that weighs about 285 pounds, and his biceps are about 8 inches above his shoulder blade. This is truly a giant, a real metropolis of a man. Harry the Wild Man is going to attempt to tear a telephone book, a telephone directory in half.
Yeah, that I am, that I am.
Harry now steps into the microphone. Flexes his muscles. He picks the directory up in his hand. And with one strain, he... Harry. That was a DDD directory you tore in half.
Oh, shucks. Boiled again.
The greatest name in birdseed presents the heartwarming story of Stella Bear and his fight for love and happiness. Dying with gifted stage and screen star, Margaret Blackburn, in the title role of Stella Bear, kindly old lady. King Kong Birdseed, the only birdseed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear. As our story opens, we find Mama Bear, Papa Bear, and Herbert Bear. Three-year-old playboy and wealthy roundabout in the bowling alley in downtown Bethesda. As we open up, let's hear from the
business. Oh, this is good exercise. Get out and bowl every once in a while. You know that, Ma?
Every time that I read McCall's and get that part about togetherness, I think about how much fun we have bowling every Wednesday night.
Well, I've never been bowling before, Ma. You think that I'll have any trouble doing it?
No, sweetheart. It's going to be so much fun. And
might
even lose a couple pounds, Herbert.
Think so, do you?
Give him a scale of 3-10. You're just a little bit chubby, Herbert.
Well, now, Herbert, you just watch old Papa Bear. He'll show you how to do it.
Paul's a good bowler, Herbert. Watch him do it, sir.
You're on the league. All right, now, what you do here, you stand up at the foul line here. Get your bearings. Now, then, these are...
Watch him, Herbert, close.
These are the 10 pins, so I just put my fingers in the ball and throw it down the alley.
Wait a minute, Paul. You've got your hands in my ear. Take them out there, boy.
No, Paul. Get your hands out of Herbert.
Why don't you throw some hair, Herbert? Your head looks like a bowling ball. All right, now, you know how to do it, Don?
Oh, I think so. Now, wait a minute. I just go back here. Is this right, Ma?
That's right, Herbert.
I take a few steps, and then I throw the ball right down the alley. Do-de-do-do-do. Now, just a minute here. I'll just get my bearings here now. Okay, now I'll take a running start here.
Son of a gun, Ma. The boy rolled a perfect strike.
I know, but... my fingers are still in the ball. You better call the doctor, Paul. I think... this looks like Herbert has got to take his fingers at a bully ball.
This is serious. Boy might be hurt, Mr.
I know, but
King Kong Birdseed has just brought you another exciting episode of Jack Flame Still of Air, Bowling Ball and Curse, brought to you by King Kong Birdseed. Based on the book Not Enough Soon Enough by Scotty Clyde. Adapted radio by Geraldine Fitzgeraldine. This has been a Sherman D. Tank production.
Our chief character, Nathan Hale, and the true story behind the American patriot, Nathan Hale.
Mr. Hale.
Yes, boss.
We're collecting old magazines, Mr. Hale. This is a countrywide scrap drive, and the lady next door just gave us a bunch of old magazines, some Reader's Digest, Coronet, Look, Time, Saturday Evening Post, all sorts of magazines. I was wondering if you had anything you could contribute, sir.
Certainly, boy. Here, boy. Here. Take this magazine from Nathan Hale.
That's the only one you got, Mr. Hale?
I regret that I have but one life to give for my country. Thank
boy,
you.
What a cheapskate. I've seen surprise in my time, but this is
and that's today's great moment in history. The truth behind Nathan Hale regretting that he had only one life to give for his country. Thank you for this moment.
Okay, go catch those kids. But now, as we started to say before, for all of his friends who are waiting for him, we now switch to the Washington Weather Tower and our weather forecaster, Wilbur Weathervane. Wilbur?
Wilbur Weathervane speaking to you from the Washington Weather Tower. Hello, and hello, well.
Hi, Wilbur. This has been a very unusual week as far as... I was really saying hello. It's been an unusual week as far as the weather is concerned. What are your comments on the record-breaking 90-degree temperature yesterday?
As far as the weather is concerned, it's been an unusual week, and the record-breaking temperature yesterday was record-breaking.
Your line is breaking up here, Wilbur. I am not reading you too well. Try it again.
I said, there's
Uh-huh, fine. One other thing. I understand, Wilbur, that they're starting a Frank Forrester fan club around you. Any comments? Thank you, Wilbur. That was Wilbur Weathervane, the Washington weatherman, and he should be back one of these days, I'm afraid, yes.
In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, Lady Davy.
It's offer codfish time. Brought to you today by Mother Mendel's Marinated Mushrooms. And here he is, author of the old toad codfish. Here is author.
Jolly, how are you? Nothing. You look at the sign today. Tell you what, mate. How you feel?
Fine, Alan.
Good to be. Who sponsors the first quarter hour?
Mother Mendel's Marinated Mushrooms office.
You know, I was about 17 before I realized a mushroom wasn't a place where you made love. You're not laughing hard enough, Marvin. You're going to get a fat lip if you don't laugh.
Sorry, I was a little stiff today. I was out golfing over the weekend, Alvin.
Yeah, I was a little stiff this morning, too. A little too much juice over the weekend.
Sorry, Alvin. Anything you say, Alvin?
By golly, boy, it's a beautiful day.
Certainly is, Alvin. It's a beautiful day. Almost springtime.
Where do I get my line in? It's beautiful. I like springtime with the flowers.
That's what I said, Alvin.
Smells so pretty.
Good morning, Mr. Godfrey.
Hello, Carmel. How you doing?
Fine. I am back.
And how's the fine little lass this morning?
I'm just fine, Arthur.
You're
talking to Mr.
Cotfish. All right, Josh. Anything
you
say? All right. You look so nice.
Call you Arthur. Well, yes, you do, don't you, Arthur?
It's all right, you loud mouth. You're getting kind of sniffy. Carmel, I bet you're getting ready for a big laugh.
That we are, Mr. Cotfish. I'm going to be singing in the Carter Baron Hall.
Well, it'll
sure be.
I have
an Irish concert.
Wonderful.
And to sing all those wonderful songs, Loch Lomond and all those songs.
Loch Lomond?
For sure, no.
Hey. Well, anyway,
I don't think that's an Irish song.
Who asked you?
I thought I would inject
it
proper.
Mother Murphy's marinated meatballs.
Oh, the Mendel's marinated meatballs.
Mushrooms. Sorry, Arthur. Well, anyway, sure it's been wonderful to get together with the nice folks today.
Arthur, before we sign off here, Arthur, I'd like to ask you a rather personal question.
What is it, love?
I was wondering if you could advance me a slight amount of my paycheck for this week, Arthur. I lost a little over the weekend there. I was off the track, you know, Arthur.
Is that all you need, Marv?
One thing and another.
Come here, Tony. Pick you right up.
Thank you very
little
much.
A little closer so I can give you the money.
Certainly, Arthur. Thank you.
In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, on the hill in the lonesome pine.
Oh, no. now present our Garden Club with Gordon Greenthumb Gardner. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to Gordon Greenthumb's WRT Garden Club, brought to you by the F.W. Bulgiani Incorporation. Now, here he is, looking greener than a gardener, old Gordon Greenthumb himself.
Well, good afternoon, fellow gardeners and green thumbers all over America. It's a great pleasure to be with you. I'm sorry I wasn't here yesterday afternoon. I was a little tied up.
You mean tied up?
No, tied up. Big weekend, believe me. But good to be back this afternoon answering your questions about horticulture and gardening and things of that nature.
Well, today, Gordon Greenthumb, we thought we'd discuss something to do with mulching leaves. There's still a lot of leaves in the ground left over from last fall's foliage, falling gently from the trees down to the earth, mingling with common dust. Now, Gordon, what do you find is the best thing for mulching leaves?
Well, you should get out there and mulch those leaves, and you should have a good supply of humus on hand.
Good humus?
Yes, you can spot him every day. He comes around ringing that little bell, you know, the good,
oh, good humus
man.
Truck. Oh,
you
yeah.
Stop him, and he'll take care of you.
Wonderful.
And then you can be singing that popular song, Half as Mulch. One of my favorites.
Oh, yes, I remember Rosemary Gooney made that popular.
Correct,
yes. A few years back. All right, Gordon, we've had some interesting inquiries concerning palm trees. Are they not popular around the
world? Oh, palm trees have always been popular, and they've come out with a new, more highly developed palm tree that is very rugged for these apartment dwellers these days.
Potted?
Well, slightly, but I'll be all right. Oh, you mean the trees? Yes, of course, and you can put them in your window box or any place like that that you prefer.
Well, now, Mr. Greenthumb, what's the best way to sow grass seed?
Sowing grass seed is very difficult. Now, you've got to have a keen eye and an adept finger to do that because it's very ticklish business. You have to have a good needle and thread and start sowing those seeds together right away. And then if you do a good job, possibly by Christmas time, you'll have enough to string over your Christmas tree.
Sowing
grass seed is helpful if you have an electric sowing machine.
It's
kind of hard to plug those in out on the lawn unless you have a long extension cord.
It's
not very nice to take the grass seeds indoors.
Mr. Greenthumb?
Oh, well, I'm a married man. You know how that is.
Well, it's been
good to be with you again this afternoon, folks.
One final question before you do sign off, and that's concerning flower seeds. Do you have any preference? Would you like to name some of your favorite flower seeds?
Well, of course, the F.W. Bulgiani Company sponsors this program, and I should say that they make very, very fine flower seeds.
Burpee, Mr. Greenthumb?
Well, if you insist. There.
You just burped.
Well, that's what you told me to do.
I was referring to burpee.
Oh, yes, of course. Very fine outfit. Yes,
indeed. Yeah, okay. Well,
it's been good to be with you again, as I started to say earlier, and we should have quit while we were ahead.
Uh-huh.
But I'll be back again next week.
I'm afraid so.
And so, remember, gardeners, roses are red, violets are blue.
What color are yours? Thank you, Gordon Greenthumb. Brought to you by the F.W. Bulgiani Company.
Here's a good old favorite for you. Stardust, I think I paced it a little fast.
Okay.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend the long late night dreaming of a song. I can't do that. I'm going to quit. I quit. I can't do that. I've been doing this for a year, and it's a drag, man.
What's the matter, Charlie?
Same old... And every week. Don't you think I get tired of that?
Well, it's just a start.
Some people think drummers have no soul.
Look.
No feeling.
Wait a minute.
No heart.
Wait a minute. The society beat is what people
want. No, no.
People buy it. Guy Lombardo, Lawrence Welk, they proved it for years.
Well, Schmelk, I don't want
to
do
that. We're trying to appeal to the greatest number of people. That's why we're taking the show off the air
tomorrow. Oh, well, I don't blame you for that. But... I have decided after this jam session, Eva, I want to swing, okay?
Go ahead.
All right, watch this.
Well,
1, 2, here I go.
Drumming sounds different, Sammy.
Well, I,
What do you call this?
I'm just warming up now.
Is this the kind of stuff you play in Baltimore over the weekend?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
You brought two secretaries out of the music room there.
Ooh-ah-a-e-i-o-u. Ooh-ah-e-o. Here we go. A little simple there.
Man, would you hold it down?
I can't hear you.
Phone is ringing.
Phone is ringing.
Hello, yes, television?
Man.
Yeah. Oh. Yes,
television. No, see, don't. Mighty out.
Y'all like television.
Yeah, it's ringing pop.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I can't help it.
That's my baby.
I'm not his father nor his keeper.
I'll call you.